Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Today we've been in a series before I left called Spirits, and I want to encourage you to get on the podcast and listen to that. I want to thank Jessica for sharing the word last week. I was able to listen to that and hear how God was moving in that word about healing. If you missed that, go on the podcast and you can listen to that. But before I left, we were talking about spirits, and we looked at Luke chapter 9, 51 through 56, where the disciples were very upset that people weren't receiving Jesus the way they thought he should be received. And so they spoke up, James and John spoke up, and they said, "Jesus, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these fools? Come on, amen? Do you want us to just barbecue these guys because they ain't treating you right?" And Jesus looks at them and he says, "You do not know what spirit you are of." We looked at that a couple weeks back, and we began to see that you could be on the right team, going the right way, doing the right thing the wrong way. And that was the problem with the disciples, right? They had a wrong spirit. And so we talked about that. We also looked at Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and 9, chapter 8, verse 9 through 13, and the story of him, of how he was a believer, he was baptized. He had a right desire to be used of God. He wanted to fill people with the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a good thing, right? But the Bible says the disciples discerned that he had a wicked spirit behind his motives. And we know in the New Testament, Jesus teaches us the root of wickedness is really selfishness. And Simon the sorcerer, even though he was a believer, even though he had been obedient to be baptized, even though he wanted to help people, his motive was self-centered. His motive was he wanted to use the power of God so people would say, "Look at Simon, look at him." And we talked about that. And then we also looked at the fact that in the book of John chapter 8, the Pharisees, Jesus rebuked them for being under the influence of Satan. Now, these were the people of God of that day. These were people that knew the word. They studied the law. And yet, even though they had the word, they were under the influence of Satan. And that's a problem. And then we talked about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." And so we talked about how important it is to be able to discern and be careful that you can be under the influence of a wrong spirit, even though you are a believer, even though you're a Christian, even though you serve in the church. We've got to do heart checks, and we've got to make sure that we're operating in the right spirit. Can I get an amen on that? Well, I want to turn this coin over, this spirit coin, so to speak, to the other side, because it's not always about bad spirits. It's about having a good spirit as well. And today I want to talk to you about a different spirit. My desire is this church would have a different spirit. My desire is that you would be of a different spirit. This that we would be able to impact our culture and have a spirit that the Bible talks about that Joshua and Caleb had. So we're going to start right here in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. And we're going to jump right into this. It says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. And I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for every person that's in the sound of my voice today. I pray, Lord, that you would take this word and that you would give us a hunger and a desire to be of a different spirit. As we walk into work on Monday morning, let there be a different spirit in us. As we attack our day, let us be of a different spirit. Deposit that spirit in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. A different spirit. Jesus made a distinction with Caleb's life that even though everybody in his generation, everybody he grew up with, everybody he was raised around, they would not inherit the blessing, he would. You see, everybody that came up with Caleb died in the wilderness, died having not received the promises of God. But God granted unto Caleb the ability to possess the promise. He only gave that ability to two people, Joshua and Caleb. And in Numbers 14, he says, "I'm going to do this for Caleb because he has a different spirit." My desire this morning is that you catch this different spirit, because it's a different spirit that separates us from people that are mediocre, from people that are satisfied with the lowest blessing. We need to be a people that want to possess everything that God has for our lives. Can I get an amen? You see, if this business that you started is going to take off, you got to be of a different spirit. You see, if this marriage is ever going to get fixed, you got to be of a different spirit. If you're ever going to break the curses over your life, you got to be of a different spirit. Nobody knew this better than Caleb. But see, when I look at Caleb, I see some of us in this room, because you're going to be the first one to do what nobody in your family has ever been able to do. And that was Caleb. See, you're going to be the first one to have a good marriage in your neighborhood. You're going to be the first one in your family not to get a divorce. Somebody here is going to be the first one to go get a college degree. Be the first one to start a business. Heck, you're going to be the first one to get off of welfare in your whole family. But it's going to take a Caleb spirit. It's going to take a Caleb spirit. It's going to take something different on the inside of you. Because everybody that Caleb was around, none of them possessed the promise. So we're going to look at Caleb real quick. And we're going to develop some of these things. What was it about Caleb that caused him to be of a different spirit? I want to talk. They got five things here that are going to separate you from everybody else and cause you to have a different spirit. Are you ready? Come on. Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Come on, here we go. The first thing that Caleb had that the rest of his generation did not have. Y'all ready for this one? He had a connection to his leader. Put that on the screen. There it is. He was connected to his leader. Guys, I need you to catch this today, because we live in a generation right now that does not understand the importance of leadership. We live in a generation, and I've talked about this in the months past when we were in the summer mixtape. Everybody thinks they can do it on their own. And guys, I'm just telling you, God did not create you to do it on your own. If you don't believe me, go back to the Garden of Eden when God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." In a perfect world, there was one problem. Adam was alone. You know what that means? If you're going to possess the promise, you cannot do it on your own. Now, it goes even deeper than that in the New Testament. In the New Testament, under this new covenant, we are called to be in community. We're called to be connected to one another. That's why Jesus doesn't just command us to go into the world and preach the gospel. He says, go into the world and make disciples. Amen. Disciple is different than just a believer. See, a believer hears a word and serves the Lord, and to a degree, he has relationship with God. But a disciple understands connection. Connection is needed to be of another spirit. Connection is needed for you to possess the promise of God for your marriage, for your business, for your family. Tell your neighbor next to you, get connected. But we live in a time and age right now where people don't want to be connected. There's a doctrine of devils out there. We, you know, 1 Timothy warns us about it. It's a seducing spirit that tells some Christians, I don't need church. I don't need to go to church. I follow God. I have my own personal relationship with Jesus. You see, and you got to understand something. We all have access to Jesus. But there's a reason that Jesus calls the body of Christ his body. Again, connection to him. He's the head, we're the body. And discipleship, catch this now, always connects you to somebody. Always. If you're not connected to someone, you need to get connected. Listen. 30 years of serving God in ministry. That's not easy to do. I don't say that to brag. I say that to give you some of the secret sauce. The only way I have been able to follow God for 30 years is because of my connection to leaders over me. When I wanted to quit, they wouldn't let me quit. When I wanted to mess up, they put me in check. When I did mess up, they restored me. Amen. Folks, you cannot have a different spirit on your own. And this is why the number one relationship that the enemy's going to try and come and attack is your relationship to leaders in your life. Be on the lookout. I've seen it 30 years. Every time he tries to get me to disconnect from those that God has connected me to. Now, why is being connected to a leader so important? Well, look at Caleb's life. Who was Caleb connected to? Caleb was connected to Joshua. Who was Joshua connected to? Joshua was connected to Moses. It's kind of like the old song, the knee bone's connected to the shin bone's connected to the heel bone. If there is a heel bone, I don't even know my biology. Listen, connection is needed. It's needed. The Bible teaches us that the anointing, and next month you don't want to miss, we're going to talk about the anointing. The anointing flows from the head down. It don't come from the side. It don't come from the ground. It always flows through a leader. Come on, tell your neighbor, get connected. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Now, here's the thing that the enemy always uses to disconnect you from headship. He always uses the excuse of imperfection in leaders. Now, if you're looking for a perfect leader, you need to just stop. Because they don't exist. They do not exist. Ain't no such thing as a perfect leader. Everybody's got something. Thank you. Help me preach today. Amen. Everybody got something. Everybody's dealing with issues. We're all imperfect. But why is it that we hold others to a standard we don't even hold for ourselves? We walk around like, oh, I'm only human, Pastor. I mess up sometimes. I'm only human. But then you want your pastor or your leader to have a standard, and when they mess up, you got no grace for them. Your manager at work, you're always criticizing their decisions. You need to stop that. Because when I say be connected to a leader, it goes beyond the church. God is in leadership. Folks, there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of light, there is order. And in order, what that means is you're going to have to follow somebody. We all just ain't existing in the kingdom of light. Some over here, some over there. No, there's an order. There's a connection. In the kingdom of darkness, darkness always represents chaos. And in chaos, everybody just does what they want. There's no order. Come on, amen? Amen. I'm telling you, the more closer you get to Jesus, you have to start learning that you got to get your life in order. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Because if you're in the kingdom's about order. So you got to get order in your finances. You got to get order in your marriage. You got to get order in your family. You got to get order in your house. In your backyard. In your car. The closer you are to Jesus, the more order is established. Now, for some of us, it's harder than others because some of us have different personalities and type this and type that. But it don't matter. The closer I get to Jesus, the more my life's got to get in order. But if I stay in darkness, I live in chaos. Don't raise your hand, but some of us were raised in chaos. Wasn't no order in your house. Kids talking back to mom. Mom talking crazy to kids. Mom talking crazy to dad. Some instances there was no dad. Some instances there was no mom. Kids ate what they wanted, did what they wanted, no order. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? No order and stuff. You got a couch in the front yard. Normal people put the couch in the house. Y'all put the couch in the front yard. Barbecuing in the front yard. No. Barbecues go in the back, y'all. In the back. Not at our house. We're doing it outside. Cooking. See, there's no order. You know, we look at things like that, we laugh, right? But it's true. The closer you get to Jesus and the kingdom of God, we've got to put things in order. Which means our lives need to be in order. Which means if I got to be in order, I got to follow somebody. That's what discipleship is. Discipleship is you following somebody. And we got people that don't want to follow nobody. Because see, in the kingdom of darkness, we think freedom is I get to do whatever I want. You have not yet learned that that's actually bondage. The freedom to do whatever you want will lead you into bondage. It's only when you submit your life to God that freedom floods your life. You keep living out of this, I just want to do whatever I want. See, that's out of order. That's a life with no God, with no leader. But when I come into the kingdom and I submit myself to God, you know, people in the world say, oh, that's bondage. No, that's freedom. Because it's in that that I get to experience the fullness of God. Caleb had a different spirit because he was connected to his leader. Joshua had a different spirit because he was connected to his leader. When Moses got up and said, we're going into the promised land, he's sending 12 spies. 10 of those fools came back and said, we can't do it. Moses ain't leading us right. Moses don't know what he's talking about. We're going to go over there and get killed by those giants. But the Bible says two guys stood up, and one of them, Caleb, the Bible says, quieted the crowd down. And he said, y'all need to just shut up and listen to what Moses is saying. If he says we can take the land, we can take the land. I wish I could get a church full of folks that would flow with their leader like this. See, because if you're an usher, you need to find out who is the head usher, and you need to connect to them. If you serve in children's ministry, you need to find out who's leading that thing and connect to them. If you're in any area of life, at your job, who is the manager of your department? Connect with them, and you will find a different spirit over your life. But as long as you want to be down with everybody at the water cooler, talking bad about your manager, talking bad about everybody in authority, you will be just like everybody in Caleb's generation, a loser. Because they died. They saw the promise, never touched it, never fulfilled, never got to fulfill it. You want to know why? They wouldn't be connected to their leader. Church, I'm telling you, get an understanding of leadership. Serving somebody and getting under somebody doesn't make them better than you. Get over this insecurity. Doesn't make me better than you that I'm your pastor. It simply means somebody's got to be the leader. Somebody's got to hold that role. And you are going to find many times you are going to have to submit your life to somebody that you would consider less than you. That's what King David did. King David submitted himself to King Saul because he understood what I'm talking to you about today. Connection to a leader is valuable. Don't be deceived. Don't be seduced by this end time spirit that says you got this on your own. You don't. And I'm telling you, 30 years of experience, the only reason I've lasted is because I've stayed connected to a leader. The reason you're going to last, stay connected to a leader. Being connected to a leader has kept my marriage. Being connected to a leader has kept my kids. Why? Because the Bible teaches the anointing runs from the head down. Why would you disconnect from the source of the anointing? I'll tell you why. Because you don't believe the word. So we're fixing that today. Amen. We're fixing that today. So what qualified Caleb of a different spirit? The first thing was he stayed connected to his leader. I'm telling you, Satan wants you to disconnect. He wants you to get all offended. He's going to bring up everything about your manager. He's going to show you everything wrong with your boss. He's going to show you things wrong with your pastor, your leaders, whatever. They ain't doing this right. They ain't doing that right. Hey, listen, ain't no perfect leaders. As long as it's not something that's immorally wrong or offensive to God, you're going to have to give grace for those things because your success depends on connection to somebody. And if you're not connected to somebody, connect to them. Now, when I say connect, it doesn't mean, you know, we got to be buddies. You got to come over to my house every other day. Too many people for that. Doesn't mean you got to be connected to the Delgados and you got to be connected once a week. It's talking about really in spirit. It's talking about being connected in vision, in understanding, running the same way. Life is busy. We don't have time to just sit down and connect with every single person. But we could connect in vision. We could connect in heart. We could be going the same way. We could fight off the enemy from keep trying to get us disconnected from the source of the anointing. Are you guys tracking with me today? Romans 13:1 says it like this in the New Testament. I'll read it to you from the Passion Translation. It says, every person, say every person. Tell your neighbor, that's you. Must submit to and support the authorities over him. For there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment, which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. So to resist authority, listen to this, is to resist, remember, the divine order of God. Listen to this next part, which results in severe consequences. Severe consequences. Severe. I submit to you today, most believers' failures are more connected to their disconnection than anything else. Because to be disconnected to leadership is to suffer severe consequences. Can I get an amen on that? I'm just reading the Bible to you. If somebody needs to hear this today, we need to make a shift. We need to understand. See, it's not a leader that you're following. Catch me while I say this. It's the word of the Lord in that leader. It's the word of the Lord in that leader. It's the word of the Lord in those that are teaching me that I'm following. It's not this. I don't want to get this into hero worship or celebrity pastorism where everybody just so, oh, this pastor is so this and so that. No, listen, what you follow is the word of the Lord in the leaders that God has put in your life. That's what you're following. And so when you begin to see their weaknesses, oh, you know, Pastor Willard, you know, I don't know, man. He does this too much. Follow the word of the Lord in it. Well, you know, the Delgados, you know, I was following them and I just noticed they don't have it all together. Follow the word inside of them. See what it is. We're not drawing people into ourselves. We're connecting to the word of the Lord because that is the source of the anointing. Let's keep going. Number two. Did y'all catch that one? I put a little bit of extra sauce on that one because somebody needs to hear that. You got to fight for connection. It doesn't just happen. You got to fight for it. If you're going to have a different spirit, you got to have a different attitude about leadership in the church, at your job, in your home. And you got to get a different attitude, ladies. Can I talk to the ladies real quick? When the Bible says submit to your husband, that is a place of strength, not of weakness. I already told you, God will have you submit to people that are less than you. Men are awesome. But women... Man will buy a house, woman makes it a home. Man could buy the groceries, a lot of women could make a meal. I have to put that in there. What makes a woman great is the womb, right? The womb. The womb is a receiver. She takes in seed, produces a human. She takes in love and multiplies it. She takes in goodness and spreads it around the house. But she can also take in bitterness and spread that. A little bitterness in a woman, she can keep that in her womb and make everybody bitter. Somebody needs to hear this. You're made to multiply what you take in. The pain that you've took in, you need to give that to God. Because it only multiplies in a woman. And then everybody else feels the pain. Women are amazing. Amazing. But there's a reason why God says, wives, submit to your husbands. That should not be a scripture where you go, oh, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. See, because you don't understand leadership. You don't. You got to change that mind. Because God's not saying you're less than a man. He's simply saying this is the order. And can I tell you something about the kingdom? You don't get to pick who God puts in charge. God sets up leaders. We just read it in Romans 13. He sets up leaders in your home too. Let's keep going. Number two. Y'all still love me today? Yeah. Praise God. Number two. Some of you did. Some of you, I don't know about that. That last thing you said there, Pastor. I'm going to pray about it. Number two, all right? Second thing that Caleb had that made him of a different spirit is he was wholehearted. He was wholehearted. His name in the Hebrew actually means wholehearted one. You know what that means? God said when in Numbers 14 that we read there, he said he's going to reap the blessing of the promise because he has followed me fully. All the way. All in. I wish I could get a church full of folks that will serve God fully. Because if you're going to have a different spirit and possess the promises of God, you can't be half in, half out. You got to be all in. I remember when we moved to California, we were praying about it. I told God, God, everything I got, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not keeping nothing back. Here, take our house. Take our friendships. Take these things that mean so much to us. We're all in. See, folks, we've got to get Christians in America all in. Because some of y'all ain't all in. You ain't all in. That's why you still want to be out in the world. Come on, there's some things you got to be all in. Like how many know a marriage ain't going to work unless you're all in. Right? It can't be like, well, we're going to give this a shot. That's going to fail. Baby, I love you, but you know, my Friday nights are my Friday nights. You ain't all in. Baby, I love you, but you know, I be kicking it with my homies on Fridays, so no, it don't work. But we got Christians still. You still haven't severed things from your life. And you hang on to it with excuses. You know, I ain't perfect. And you still hanging out with people and you still doing stuff and you're not all in. Listen, get all in. If you're going to possess the promise that God has for you, you cannot be half-heartedly pursuing God. It shouldn't be a debate Sunday morning. Ain't no debate in our house. He said, that's because you're the pastor. No, it'd be this way if it wasn't. We go to church on Sundays. That's what we do. It's who we are. That's how we get down. We're all in. There's no debate when we get paid. Are we going to tithe this month? Let's see. What do we got going? Christmas is coming up. I don't know. Ain't no debate. We're all in. We're all in. You know, something else we do? We serve in church. We're all in. You know, even as we're raising our kids, they don't get an option. The talk is always, so where are you guys serving this year? Not, are you guys going to serve? No, listen, you live in our house, so we love God. We serve God. Amen? There's some things you got to get all in on. And until you're all in, you're never going to experience the fullness of God. You can't be divided. Look at the book of James, chapter 1, 7 and 8. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. It's on the screen there. It says, when you are half-hearted and wavering, listen to this, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? Can I tell you, most Christians in America, that's where they live. They live in an unstable place because they ain't all in. Singles, you got to be all in if you're going to find a godly spouse. All in. All in. Means you got to do it God's way. Did you know in America today, amongst singles, the average single has sex by the third date? Got real quiet in here. Ooh. Third date. But you want a godly spouse. But you want to find a man of God. You want to find a woman of God. Well, you have to be all in. You have to be all in. I remember when I was single, I said, Lord, you're going to have to bring her. Because in the church I was at, wasn't nobody that I was attracted to. Some of y'all in here say, amen, Pastor. It's still like that. It's still like that. But I knew God called me there. So I didn't go, you know, well, I better go find it. No, God, you tell me where to be. I'm going to be there. Because I'm all in. You're going to have to bring her. And you've heard the story. Like a beam of light, she walked in the house of God. Then I said, hello. You got to be all in. You can't start the business and hope it works. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. You can't try God. You know, they used to say, try Jesus. You can't try Jesus. You're going to be all in or not? You're going to follow Christ or not? See, Caleb was all in. Let me keep going here. Number three. Third thing that Caleb had is he was faithful. He was faithful. His name also literally means faithful. One Hebrew translation of the word Caleb actually means dog. So if you're thinking of naming your kid Caleb, you're naming him dog. Because that described how faithful he was. Now think about, what is that word faithful? It means full of faith. What does faith mean? Remember, Pastor Charles was with us not too long ago, and he talked about faith is believing and speaking. If you're going to have a different spirit, you got to start listening to what you're believing and speaking. And all that comes out of some of us is complaining and murmuring. You do not have a different spirit if you're a complainer. Complaining is the language of Egypt. It's the language of slaves. Complain, complain, complain. Nope. If you got a different spirit, you're all about believing and speaking. You should be believing and speaking good things instead of complaining about your husband, complaining about your wife, complaining about your kids, complaining about your church. Hey, start believing and speaking. Start believing and speaking about your life. That's what Caleb was like. He was full of faith. He was full of believing and speaking. You know what this talks about? It talks about that he believed the word of the Lord. My question is, do you? Do you believe in the promises over your life? Do you really believe you're going to have a better life? If you do, you should start believing and speaking. Let me give you two more and I'm almost done. Eddie, if you could come and help me. Number four. If you're going to have a different spirit, you got to be courageous. You got to be courageous. See, Caleb stood up to thousands, the Bible says. The Bible says when the crowd got up to murmur against Moses, it was Caleb that said, hey, y'all need to pipe down. That's our leader. We need to do what he's saying. I wonder if we could get a church full of folks that could stand up and go the opposite direction of the culture. I wonder if we could get some people that would say, I'm not afraid to be a believer. I wonder if I could get some young people that would just say, I don't have to do what everybody in my class is doing. So you got to be of a different spirit. This generation is doing drugs. That don't mean you need to. This generation is having promiscuous sex. That don't mean you have to. See, but you got to have courage to stand against the flow. Caleb could go against the flow if the flow was against God. I'm telling you, in your walk with Jesus, you're going to have to go against the flow. People in your family ain't going to understand. Your brothers and sisters ain't going to understand. Your cousins ain't going to understand. You going to church on Sundays? You doing what? You got to be able to be like Caleb and go, yeah, I'm following the word of the Lord.
Father, I pray for each.
just like Caleb, Lord. They come from places where nobody has seen the promise. Some of them are going to be the first marriage that is successful. Going to raise the first set of kids that go to college. Father, this group of people here is just like Caleb. And I pray, Father God, as we connect to leaders, as we remain faithful, as we hold to courage, and as we have vision, I pray that you would pour out that spirit that Caleb had on us, that you would cause us to be a church of a different spirit, the Holy Spirit, that this place would be a place where people would come and possess the promises of God for their families.
Hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.